A judge has told the man accused of stalking the TV presenter Christine Lampard he may face a jail term when he's sentenced next month. Christine told the court how she cowered behind her sofa when her stalker came to her house. Our reporter Eita Dungan's been speaking to a woman, Vicky, who says she's been stalked by a man she had a five-month relationship with back in 2011. She says it all began the night she finished with him.
He thought that I was out with somebody else the night that I tried to finish it with him. And he actually posted a revenge porn picture on Facebook and tagged me into it. I reported him to the police because he wouldn't leave me alone. So the PS and I actually caught him on my doorstep on two occasions. This man was definitely not going to give up. He followed me on dual carriageways on McQueen's Bridge. I was parked at the traffic lights one time and he came up and he started banging on my window, shouting, "I love you." He came to my places of work and was parked in the car park. And I kept reporting everything to the police. I unfortunately met him before it really became very heavy, the unwanted contact attempts. I unfortunately met him in a cafe on Christmas Eve. We were intimate, unfortunately, and this was after the revenge porn, and I am very ashamed to admit this, but for me, it was almost hopefully a way of getting the photographs back or trying to get him to be kind to me in some way because he was particularly nasty. So what took place next was he was recording this without my knowledge, and understandably, the PPS then didn't prosecute. From then, I ceased all contact from January. It was either the 2nd or the 3rd of January, 2012. Not only did he stalk me at my address where I was going out with him for those 5 months, he followed me to my next two addresses. He was always parked in the shop, my nearest shop, which I could never go to and never go into or never buy anything from, because he was constantly parked there. He wanted me to know he was still in the area.
What does this do to you and your family?
I can't go like everybody else and walk along a beach. I can't go along the town in which I live without looking to see where I park my car, if it's under CCTV, in the event that he appears. I can't go to any local community events without keeping an eye out to see if he's about. I have constantly to watch where I'm going. If I come out of my driveway in the cul-de-sac where I live now, where I'm hiding, I have to listen for cars coming so that I can scan to make sure it's not his car, because I know he's not going to give up. This man is intent on ruining me. He's intent on letting me know that he has this control over my life. How it's impacted me is I feel like I'm living in a prison that is my home. I feel it's a prison without bars. It's the only place that I feel safe. Some people have said to me, "Why don't you just ignore him and he'll go away?" Well, here we are, 2011 to 2018. I'm still looking for relief from this. I want to live my life like someone normal.
Vicky there, speaking to our reporter Eita Dungan. Well, while draft legislation calling for a stalking law in Northern Ireland is still in the hands of the Department of Justice Criminal Law Division, the police in both England and Wales have moved towards setting up specialist groups to deal with stalking complaints. But how exactly do they work? Rachel Horman is an expert on stalking, and Detective Inspector James Stewart is from the Hampshire Constabulary. Good morning, you're both very welcome to the programme. Rachel, listening not only there to Vicky, of course, Northern Ireland, separate from the rest of the UK, and that we don't have the necessary legislation. But in the case of Christine Lampard, she has highlighted how sinister, how frightening stalking can be. And even though it is legislated for in England, clearly there were shortcomings. Her ordeal lasted for 2 years. She was left cowering behind a sofa.
Yes, and that's not uncommon, unfortunately. There has been a big increase in prosecutions since we had the stalking legislation for that type of behaviour, because before, victims had to rely on harassment and it just wasn't being picked up. There was a parliamentary inquiry which concluded that victims were being failed. Stalking is present in the lead up to many, many, in fact, the majority of domestic abuse murders. So it's something that can have fatal consequences. But unfortunately, most victims will experience 100 incidents before they even report it. So once it gets to the stage of reporting it, it's vital that the police and the criminal justice system really do take it seriously and do something. And whilst there is an ongoing improvement, I think, nationally, it's still, the response still isn't where it needs to be, and victims are still not being given the protection that they need all the time.
Detective Inspector James Stewart with us. James, how do you respond to Rachel's concerns that even with legislation, stalking is not being confronted perhaps and enforced in the way she would like to see?
Well, good morning. Yes, I mean, the legislation for the stalking aspect of looking at how to deal with those crimes was passed in 2012 from the Protection from Freedoms Act, which was an addition to the Protection from Harassment Act, which came in 1997. Now, Hampshire's approach to that for a number of years now has very much been multi-agency. So we have a bespoke stalking clinic, which is set up through partners, which is has police on it. It has mental health, so we have a consultant, forensic psychiatrist, and a forensic psychologist. Crown Prosecution Service. We have Aurora New Dawn, who provide an independent stalking advocate, as well as the National Probation Service. So we have a holistic approach on stalking in that sense. But the key thing is identification of stalking behaviours at the earliest stage. So stalking is very different to harassment, for example.
Explain the difference for us.
Well, stalking very much looks at the fixation and obsession aspect, and there's no bespoke definition of stalking. So there's a level of interpretation, but certainly where we look at the fixation obsession, as opposed to harassments which may be more oppressive and sort of unreasonable. So there is a distinct difference, and one of the main things for us is making sure that officers and staff throughout the organisation understand those differences and identify at the earliest opportunity.
Is that part of the problem, the interpretation of the legislation?
There needs to be an understanding of stalking behaviours, definitely. Stalking is a complex crime. It's a unique crime. And we certainly need to improve that understanding, I think. And once officers and staff are able to understand that, then they can identify and put through a referral, which then will be part of the stalking clinic process. And then we hear cases at the clinic, and we base our risk assessments on the stalking risk profile. And then we can sort of look at the fixation, obsession. We can also look at the risk of violence, risk of persistence, risk of reoccurrence, and also the psychosocial damage to the stalker as well.
Rachel, in Christine Lampard's case, there were issues where the stalker, he admitted stalking, would have turned up at her home, sent messages via social media. Is it even more difficult to bring a prosecution if the stalking is online? And what's the distinction between stalking and trolling?
Well, sometimes trolling can be stalking. Again, it is about the obsession and fixation element, and that is the key, and that's what makes it different. In my view, it's actually easier to prosecute in terms of stalking cases where it's happening online, because you've got the evidence there in black and white. That's far easier to prosecute than when you've got somebody lurking in the shadows, you haven't got proof that they've been following you, etc. This is there in black and white. The problem is quite often that the police don't have the skills or resources to actually get that evidence, that digital evidence that is there. And unfortunately, a lot of my clients will end up paying for experts to investigate their own crime and actually obtain their own evidence. And that really is the job of the police.
James, do you accept the criticism?
I think there's probably always room for improvement in any area. And I think we'd be complacent if we said there wasn't. But we certainly have specialist officers who are trained throughout, and I can only speak for Hampshire Police, in digital media investigations. And where the necessity lies in regards to the online sort of world and the digital world. And we have to grow with that. And part of our sort of motivation and drive is to ensure that We have a sort of a rolling continuous professional development for officers in regards to digital media. In fact, we have a digital media week this whole week in regards to digital media investigation and how to identify opportunities and exploit opportunities within the online world.
Thank you. Just briefly, Rachel, I know the law is different here, that we have a situation where we don't have government, but the former Justice Minister has begun the process of changing the law here. There is draft legislation, but with no storm, the process is frozen. What, though, in those circumstances, would your advice be to women who believe they are being stalked and perhaps have been for some time before they even address the authorities?
Well, report. Even though you haven't got the legislation for stalking, there are other things. They're not as good, and it doesn't really address the stalking issue as it should. But there are other crimes that can be used to prosecute that behaviour. It's so important that victims get specialist help. I know you have a number of charities there that can also give advice about it. So please report it, keep a diary, and you know, don't think it's normal, because it isn't, and it is very dangerous.
Rachel Horman, very good to talk to you, and Detective Inspector James Stewart from the Hampshire Constabulary. Thank you both very much indeed. And of course, stalking can affect men and women. If you've been a victim, do get in touch. The text number 81771. Charges at your normal standard rate.